Hello, loves. As always, I'm really grateful for you being here because I know there are so many other places that you can be. And today, I am looking forward to having you here for another episode of Real Talk, where I get to have real life conversations with incredible people from my circles and communities who have overcome challenges and created amazing. And today, my incredible, really fun guest is Paisley Bird. Paisley is an actress who was just nominated Best Actress at the San Diego Film Consortium. She's also a storyteller, writer, and an experienced certified insight coach. Paisley specializes in helping others learn to coach themselves. She has been featured in several publications, including SD Voyager, Canvas Rebel, and Bold Journey. She's an active creative who spends her time being involved in the film community, photographing portraits, and writing. Paisley gained much of her wisdom through her own life experiences. Paisley was born into a cult-like environment. As a young woman, she had desires stirring within her that were not in alignment with the world around her. So she chose to listen to her internal guidance and the fire inside her, and made the courageous decision to take steps to leave the cult. In leaving the cult, she had a major life transformation, and this ignited in her the passion and purpose to help heal others through storytelling. And we all have a story to tell, so please help me welcome Paisley as she tells us her story today.
Hi.
Hi, Paisley. Thank you so much for joining us. I know your schedule is so busy, and I'm really excited to have you here because I know we're going to have a great time.
I'm excited to be here. This is so much fun already.
Thank you. Thank you. So I know we've chatted before, and you're so dynamic and so courageous. And I was just inspired by your, courageousness and your fire. And I was so many questions for you because I know it's
Fire
not
away.
easy. It's not easy for us to walk away from our environment, from the world we live in, especially when it's so to tie to our identity and to our belief system. And then we have to create this new belief system like we did. When you talk about a cult-like environment, like what does that mean?
It's a world that strips you of your autonomy. There are beliefs that are given to you rather than you create them yourself. And you lose that agency, which means you lose decision making or it gets restricted. Like for me, I always wanted to act when I was young, and that wasn't a favorable choice for the world that I lived in. So I restricted myself and I didn't do it, even though that was something that I wanted to do so much. Like I could feel it in my soul that I wanted to tell stories that way. So you lose your identity and you don't even realize it.
And so when you say you lose your identity and you don't realize it, what does that look like? How do you not even realize it?
Well, I was born into it, so I didn't know, it was so contained, my world, that I didn't know what was out there. I was only knew what was spoon-fed to me. So my identity wasn't something that I created. So there was no way for me to look objectively at who I was because I was being told who I was. So you don't know. And there are things in life though, and things that I experienced that kind of made me think a little bit that didn't, sit right with me. And that's kind of what psychology calls cognitive dissonance. And you have a lot of that when you're in a cult or cult-like environment. So you don't know when you're in it because you haven't experienced anything else.
Right. And I recently learned the word cognitive dissonance. It's when something has been, ingrained in you or repeated a belief or a story that you just take it to be true when in reality that's not the fact. And I've experienced that, and it's scary. It's scary to believe, oh my gosh, like this is really what I believe to be true. However, once you step out and gain this awareness and you recognize, like, okay, that's not true, it shakes you a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, I think when you start listening to the your intuition, the cognitive dissonance starts to kind of fade. You start to there's a place in your psyche, at least for me, that started fighting against it, and it was extremely uncomfortable, but it was like opening Pandora's box. So the more that I fought it and the more that I proved a truth to myself, the more freedom that I gained. And then I was able to start my journey on not even, I thought about this before we started, is it wasn't even so much that I created an identity, but it was really uncovering who I already was, which kind of feels like a similar journey, but it's something I think even more special because it was always there. You're just layers and layers of other things that I didn't want to be. So once I, dug down and unpeeled those layers, that freedom made me so much happier.
I love that because one of the questions I wanted to ask was, what were the first steps you took to begin recreating your identity? However, you're right. It wasn't about recreating, it was uncovering who you've always been and taking off the layers of the false truths.
Exactly.
Beautiful. So, what would you say was the first step you took to start getting to the true you?
It actually had to do with my marriage. I actually went through a divorce, and during that process, the environment that I was in, divorce is not really an option. There's only certain, specific or requirements in order to get a divorce, and I was doing it without those requirements. And I had valid reasons to do so besides their reasoning, and they did not handle that well. And as soon as I went through that, I realized how wrong that was and how devastating that is to others to put on a restriction that is not good for somebody's body, mind, and soul. And so I decided to take off that weight of authority that they had over me for most of my life. And that's when I started really looking into my beliefs and challenging them. And it just went from there.
And what do you think was like, what was the first step? Like, how do you begin to unravel your beliefs? Where did you start? Because there's so many.
There's so many, but I got to a point where I was very just ill. I was extremely fatigued. I couldn't sleep. My appetite was gone. Like I had such mental fogginess. Like it was a spiritual, I was spiritually dying. And I realized I couldn't live like that. And so there's something inside me that says you need to examine all the things in your life because it took a little while to go down that spiral. And so I thought, oh, maybe it's my job, maybe it's my hobbies, maybe it's my friends, but I never examined my beliefs. And it wasn't until I really was more objective about things in my life that I saw what was actually wrong. And it was right there in front of me, but because of how I was raised, I didn't see it.
Well, that goes back to the cognitive dissonance that you were talking about. And it's interesting because I was listening to another podcast this morning, and something they touched on was when, I know this sounds cliche, but it's not, when you're not in your true self, when you're not loving yourself, you just feel the things that you mentioned, like not sleeping, not eating, feeling fatigued, feeling tired. And so all of that sounds like, it was your soul telling you like something was off. And do you believe in our society today that people just take that as, okay, this is stress, this is how we live, not recognizing, okay, there's something that needs to change in my life, as opposed to, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm not that hungry. That's just life. Do you think that we've just kind of
Yeah, I
accepted
think it's
the
become a norm. Yes, I believe it's become a norm, especially in Western culture, where instead of taking a step back and doing the hard work of that pain as a signal, we looked for, distractions and other coping mechanisms, but those are only temporary. You're still going to have that void somewhere in you, and you're going to fill it up with junk food instead of the healthy stuff that will take longer. Well, it'll take longer to get there, but it's going to be more solidified than just whatever feels that temporarily.
I agree with you, and I've been on this journey for a very long time, and I like what you said. It's like, we use these things to cope. And also I wasn't able to let all of the things go at one time. It feels like it's a journey. It's like little by little, which brings me to, you took a lot of risk, and taking the steps to leave this. And, when we spoke last time, you mentioned like, I was in a very dark place. How were you able to move through that dark place?
Oh boy. Well, I did have people around me that really helped support me. Like, they even helped me find a place to live where I could be on my own, which was a huge game changer because I had never lived on my own before. And having that, like, peace was, I could relax. I was still in survival mode, but it wasn't as intense. And so I could really take the time to plan a future and think about a future rather than just day-to-day living. And so that's when I decided to just try the things that I've always wanted to do. Like, there was an excitement that I felt as soon as I was on my own. And that's when I decided to join the acting studio. And that completely changed my life because I had a new community, which is exactly what I lost and exactly what I needed. And so that's when I examined other things and went back to, what do I need? We need, social, we need health, we need spirituality, just the basics. And when you lose everything, you need to make sure that you fill it up with things that are in alignment with you. And so it was a huge process, but slowly and surely that helped me get out of that dark space. And there's been other times where you fall back into it, but that's okay. It's kind of like an addiction. You're going to have a relapse because that's just how your brain was formed. And you can train it and unlearn things, but it is going to take time and you're going to have grace with yourself.
You're right. I mean, we can definitely reach. It's not easy, but
No.
our brains do have neuroplasticity. So we, started this behavior this way, and then we can rewire it. It's just not easy because we keep going back, to it's a habit. It's a habit. Now, have you found that the longer you're on this journey, when you fall into those dark places, does it feel like easier to get up, or are you in those dark places? Are they less intense? Do you stay there not as long?
Yes, I've done so much work in so many different areas with many therapies and modalities that now I'm at to a place where when I do get in those dark moments and I spiral, I'm very aware of it. And depending on what the trigger was, it puts it more into an objective space for me, knowing that it is temporary. And so yes, it is a lot easier to get out of instead of just staying there for days or weeks or even months. Usually for me, I can get out of it within that day. And just knowing that a lot of the time you just need a reset. So if that means relaxing or just going to bed early and just starting the day anew, those are some things that always really helped me.
I love it. I love it. And it's possible. I mean, that's why you're so inspiring. And I was so excited to share you and highlight you with
Me
our
too.
audience
Thank you.
because our brain is wired to need to belong.
Yes.
And when we don't belong, we feel this, it's a tremendous fear because we're in cavemen. If we got kicked out of the community, then we wouldn't survive. And so I feel like we still have that tied in our brain, and we have to really be aware of it. And it's scary to connect yourself from a community that you've been a part of your entire life, because you're right, we do need community. And I loved how you left a community and you needed a community, and you found that community in the acting school. And so how do you feel now when you how do you feel now, and how's your sense of belonging now?
It's something that I still struggle with. I feel like I'm still kind of, even though it's been, I think, about 5, 6 years, it's still something that I find myself feeling like an alien, to be completely transparent. But I know that if I feel it, or if I think of it, somebody else has too. Like, we're not special in that way. We are all connected. And so that always brings me relief that even if I do feel like that, there's people around me to remind me that I do belong. I do have a family. I do have friends. Just because that mindset does stay with you, and that's okay. You're still going to have your fears. I had lots of fears when I left, but I went ahead and made those decisions anyways. So it's more about learning how to manage the fear because it's always there. It's there to protect you rather than trying to get rid of it, but accept it as just a part of yourself. So when I have that fear of not belonging or being, good enough for something, I just remember that it's a temporary feeling because of all the unlearning that I have to do.
I love that, the unlearning. The unlearning. We do. We need to unlearn to get to who we really are inside. That's big. I love that. We really need to unlearn and kind of unravel all these layers to get to who we are. And when we get to who we are, do you believe that, and I'm working on this too, because there's so many times I feel like I don't belong or I'm not in the right place. But do you feel like once we connect with the deepest part of us and connect to that higher source, do you feel like that we'd still have that feeling to belong, or do we just belong to ourselves? I know that's a hypothetical question.
I think it's both. I think when you have that connection to your inner self and you have that confidence, even though a sense of belonging is important, it's something that we need as humans. It's not as devastating because we have ourselves. Like that is something that in survival mode I always learned. At the end of the day, I always have myself. But there's a balance to that because I was definitely, and I still struggle with this, a hyper independent. So I
Me
think
too.
that it is that it is a balance, but you start to make true friends and true community when you have yourself. And those are lasting connections.
Yes, and I've noticed on my journey when I give, grace to myself, or when I give love to myself or compassion to myself, I begin attracting that from outside. And so I've learned that it begins with me. If there's something that I feel I need from outside, I need to go and look within myself, because I'm not going to receive it unless I'm giving it. And I think it starts with us. What do you think are the three most important qualities that it takes for us to begin connecting with our true self?
Ooh, you have to have definitely patience. I know for me, I always want to hurry up and do the thing, whatever the thing is, because most of the time I'm very excited, especially when it comes to personal and spiritual growth. But that's actually the opposite of what you need to do. You really need to surrender. And there's no such thing as control in the way that we think of it. In order to have a sense of, control, you have to let it go. And you can't do that unless you have compassion and patience for yourself. So I think those are very important, as well as a sense of resilience and a confidence in yourself. Those are very important things. I think it's like three or four things I said, but they all interconnected together.
I agree. I mean, you said confidence, resilience, patience, it's huge, huge. I don't think I've given enough thought to patience, because in the past, for me, like you said, it was resilience, persistence, commitment. And recently I've realized like patience is really up there on the list, because so often like we're doing all of this work and working so hard and we don't recognize, okay, this takes time, it needs patience. And before the light bulb goes on, before we reach the finish line, we quit because we don't have that patience. And we have people that are so talented, yet they put in the effort, yet they quit before they get to the finish line because of that patience. So thank you for really validating how important patience is. It's that's going to be my new word, because I'm with you on the surrender and can't control. So yes, sister, patience is on the top of that list. So love that. So, talk to me. You know, I know that you've kind of, you know, ignited your passion and you had your own life transformation, and that really, you know, led you to your purpose as an insight coach. Can you share with us, like, what is an insight coach, and how do you support your clients?
I support my clients through storytelling, because when I looked back at my life, it's like, what kind of story do I want to tell? What story do I tell myself about myself? And so one of the things that I do with my clients is we think of different types of writing exercises for them to do, because for me, an insight coach is to help you understand yourself better. Because if you understand yourself better, you're going to make better decisions for yourself. You're going to be in better alignment for yourself. And it doesn't really matter, you know, who you are, what you're trying to do, as long as you're committed to it. So my clients come from all different types of backgrounds, but they all have one thing in common, and that is they want that growth. And there's that missing something from their life. They're struggling with identity, even sometimes types of grief, and that can challenge your identity and challenge your purpose. So anyone that is wanting that insight at a very deeper level, because you have to have a humility and also an empathy to realize that you need help getting deeper. And I know that from experience working with coaches myself.
Humility is huge, and sometimes people are delusional and they don't really believe they need that type of, you know, help. And there's a false sense of confidence. And so how can you know, move forward with a sincere confidence and humility as opposed to that insecure confidence, and recognize, okay, I need support. Because sometimes when people they have a negative connotation to getting support, like it's weak. But in reality, you know, the most people, that the top 1% of players in any industry, I don't care what it is, they have coaches, therapists, coaches, spiritual healers. So how can we step from insecure confidence into that, you know, humility and secure confidence?
I think you have to be able to just stop and just look at your life and look at yourself and say, okay, what is working and what is not working and why? Like, one of the things that I do personally is I ask myself questions all the time. One of the things that I also ask my clients is, are you happy? Now, I don't believe happy is a permanent state of being, but there is a sense of peace and relief when you are in alignment with yourself. So if you're feeling off, it's telling you there's something there. So if you listen to that voice, and you have to really listen to it, though, you can't make excuses for it because you want your life to be a certain way. There's a reason why you have that feeling. Every feeling that we have is a signal. It's there for a reason, even if it doesn't seem reasonable at the time, you know, there's always a reason. And so if you take that time and you just stop and you listen, you will gain a wisdom that you can't get anywhere else. You can have people help you get there and they can expand upon it for you, but unless you do that yourself, it's just not the same. You're going to stay in that insecure state.
And that's scary, you know, to really get
Oh, yeah.
into you know, your truth, because the ego helps keep us safe. And sometimes that's where the delusion comes in, especially, you know, if we are in those perfect pictures and we have that perfectionism. Oh my goodness, for us to recognize, like, okay, like I need help here, or I need room for improvement, like the ego's terrified, especially for us perfectionists, like to recognize, oh my gosh, like I'm not perfect. And I believe perfection is a form of self-sabotage. And I work on that all the time. I'm aware of it, you know, and but again, it's tied to my identity from the world around me. Like you had to be perfect. And to really look in the mirror and be like, this is from falling, and this is where I need help. That's hard.
Yeah, and there's a certain level of self-acceptance. I believe there are levels of it, just like there's levels of confidence and everything. There's different tiers. And so in order to really release ego, but it's always going to be there. So you can release it, but in a way where you're still friends with it. You have to be friends with all your parts. You really do,
100%.
or you're
I
going to
love that.
stay in whatever miserable state you're in. And
I
so
totally agree with
once
you.
you have that acceptance, it's so much better.
I agree with you. And I know when I first, and we can talk spirituality because I know that's, part of your coaching as well. When I first, got into the spiritual communities and it was about, completely getting rid of the ego, I bought into that. And then, on my own journey, I realized, well, I can't get rid of my ego. My ego helps me. However, like you said, how can I make friends with it and recognize when it goes up to sabotage me? And, my higher self learned to talk to the ego, the insecurities, the perfectionism. And I've learned, to how I've learned to work with my ego. And sometimes our ego serves us. Our ego does drive us to be, to take that next step. But it's just for me, it's, the intention, the why. Why am I taking this step? And if it's because I want you to like me, I don't take the step. I go back to, I retreat back and then I ask myself, okay, what part of you needs to heal? Because acceptance is not going to come from outside. It comes from here and my higher power.
Exactly. And I think that healing is such a buzzword. And one thing is, we all know that healing is a journey, but and healing is effort, but healing also needs rest. It needs relaxation. It needs fun. When I introduce fun into my life, oh my goodness, things completely change. When you prioritize your inner child, things will come to you without you even realizing it. It's a form of manifestation, really. So healing now, when I see it in the space, it's almost feeling like it's starting to have a negative connotation because it feels heavy. And even though it is heavy, that's not all that there is to it. There's so much more to it. And it shouldn't restrict us from things too. We shouldn't say fully healed in order to do, X, Y, and Z. That's never going to happen. So you have
Never.
to have that acceptance and saying, I'm going on my journey for growth, but and
Yes.
just and keep that as a mindset.
So I love that, and I agree with you because when I say the word healing, it feels heavy. Again, 6 years ago, that's where I was at, and not that I'm not still healing, but I'm really open to
Exactly.
new language. And a few years ago, I did the experiment with fun. Like, I'm going to focus on the fun. And your sister, you are right. What manifested was amazing. And then I said, okay, like, I'm not going to focus on digging deep to the past because I'm aware. I'm going to move forward with conviction.
Yes,
And
that's the right
I
word.
love and moving forward with conviction for me, oh my God, it has made my life so much lighter, so much lighter. And what I the next thing I love, what you said was, growth and expansion. And so can we, say, I'm committed to my growth and expansion because the healing is just tied to that anyway. So instead of, so what do you think? Can we say like I'm committed to my growth and expansion? I mean, because like you said, healing, healing feels heavy to me these days.
Yeah, and I think that, language is there just to help us communicate. It's just
Totally.
for labels. We make them heavier and there's more weight in them than they need to be sometimes. I prefer to use the word growth because of just right now the current connotation of that language seems to be, it feels to me more freeing and more fun because healing is a part of it, is like the subclass, That's one of the reasons why I prefer that word.
I love it. I love that too. Speaking of fun, you were just nominated as, best actress in the San Diego Film Consortium. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, you went after your dreams and you're in a couple of films, and how fun was that? Talk to me about that, and how did that manifest?
That was a life-changing experience for me because I had only been acting for a couple of months when I was cast for my first lead role in an indie film. And it was terrifying, but I did anyways because it was a challenging role. It wasn't, a cute little, romantic comedy. It was, an action drama where I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. And I had to learn a lot of things. I learned how to box. I learned how to ride a motorcycle. I learned how to go into a deep emotional state so that there's, tears on the screen. There was so much. It was so cathartic for me because I was going through that really dark period of time. That saved me. And I think the universe knew that. I think the universe knew that I needed acting and that I needed that community because everyone that I was around on set, we became a little family. And I had never experienced family in that way before. And so when I say life changing, that's not an exaggeration. I really got to know myself even more while portraying somebody else because you always use yourself when you're in your character. So I would say to someone else, when you are in alignment and you're going after to what you want, you get that back, you get rewarded. So don't stop. Like you said, we have that conviction and just keep going, and you're gonna receive things you didn't even expect. I had no expectations of that at all, and it changed the trajectory of my acting career.
I love that. That's beautiful. And when we connected and I heard you say it again, today, you wanted to be an actress from the time you were a little girl, but the environment around you told you that wasn't possible, but that dream stayed within your heart, and it's just amazing. I mean, look what happened. Did you ever imagine this would happen or believe it would
No,
happen?
not at all. I really didn't, which is wild because usually when you believe something to be, usually it ends up happening, whether that is a negative or positive consequence. But in this, I think because it is part of my soul and I wanted it so badly, even though I didn't have any expectations for it, I believe that's why I got rewarded is because of my intention. My intention wasn't fame or, the prestige of it. I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to learn other people through characters. And I think that's why I got that role.
That's so beautiful. Well, you said it. The intention was there. It was a thought in your mind. And because you surrendered to it and there really wasn't an attachment, it unfolded. Oh, that's beautiful. Which brings us, to, attachment. And when we're attached to an outcome, it puts us in a place of resistance. And it's cool to manifest that way. And I've learned the hard way. It's like when I surrender to the outcome and I just show up and flow, yes, there's things that you want, but when they come, they're, the things that I've been open to receive once I surrendered were much greater than I had anticipated. And that's been beautiful, but it's not easy to stay in that detached state.
That's definitely a practice. And what I mentioned earlier about believing, that's definitely an energetic mindset. It's something that I appreciate about manifesting is, if you want to feel more abundance in your life, then there's a sense of gratitude you should have right now. There's a lot of work in the present in order to receive things for your future. And yeah, it'll be a wonderment. You'll receive things you never thought possible, things that you need rather than just what you want.
Absolutely. And I'm constantly exploring and experimenting with the laws. And I used to be so hard on myself when not so great things would happen. And I would say, okay, my God, what did I do or what didn't I do to attract this? And now I recognize that yes, I mean, we definitely have a hand in the life we create. And there are also going to be events that are out of our control. And I believe that events that are out of our control is okay, how am I going to respond to this? And the lesson is in how I respond. I'm not going to beat myself up for this happening. how am I going to respond and move forward? And that's been a tough one for me to accept because I learned like, okay, everything that happens to you is because of you. And sometimes, you know, it's out of our hands.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And that's where detachment works for that too. Sometimes when things happen, like you said, it's what did I do wrong? That almost becomes part of our identity. That's something that I had to really, really change that I had no idea about. I really thought thoughts, just thoughts, were tied to our identity. And that's just not true because there's just so much stimuli. And so there's all kinds of things that we think about, and it doesn't mean that that is us. And so with that level of detachment, is that's why it's such a practice and something that I think is really important, and to also have compassion for yourself while it's happening.
For sure. I mean, compassion, absolutely. And all of this is a practice. You know, I've, you know, been doing this for a few years. You've been doing this for a few years. And, you know, definitely we've both come a very long way. And for myself, like, I believe there's like so much more room for improvement and growth and expansion. Mm-hmm. There's so much I don't know. And I'd like to stay open and curious because I want to continue to grow and expand and attract and push the envelope. Really, I want to continue to push the envelope and see what's on the other side, because it's fun. It really is fun. And it's hard.
Yes.
But I'd rather work towards my future self, because it's going to be hard when I'm at my future self and things suck if I don't do the work now.
Well, I would really like to highlight the word you said, curious, because that is one of my favorite words. I think that's also something that helped me transform and get out of the dark places. I was just curious about the world. I had never seen the world with new eyes before. And so, yeah, once we do all that work and something bad happens, then there's a curiosity to it, I think, there too, where we can become introspective, negative or positively. But if you choose the positive route, you get so much more out of it. And that is when we really listen to our inner child, that curiosity comes out.
Yes. And I've learned that we're typically responding from the inner child within us. And I, you know, make an effort to talk to that, you know, that the younger me. And I love how you also talk about not only curiosity, but fun. You know, staying in that playful nature helps us create. But like we started off earlier, it's like society, so the norm is like stress and grind. And nothing's wrong with, you know, grind and hustle. Like we need to take action, but how can we infuse that fun? So how do you infuse fun into creating your life?
It's a daily execution. It's okay, this is what I need to do today. Well, there might be things I don't particularly want to do, you know, adult responsibilities, but it's like, how can I make this fun? Like, should I eat a piece of chocolate after I pay a bill? You know what I mean? So yeah, it's just little things like that really add up and that really brighten your day, especially if, for example, if you struggle with mental illness, like I do as well. There's like little rewards that you can give yourself. And I say, don't rely on that, because it should really come from within, but there's nothing wrong with giving yourself reward or making it playful when you putting away your clothes, turn on music and dance. You know, it's whatever you want, and to choose one thing a day that just brings you pleasure with no strings attached. And try not to feel guilty about it. You know, if it's playing a video game or, you know, playing with a Rubik's Cube, it doesn't matter. Just find something that you can do every day.
I love that. And, you know, pleasure. It's like, you know what? I need to write that down. We don't use the word pleasure enough either. I don't think we use. So today, patience and pleasure. So finding more patience. How you said, you know, the word pleasure, whatever, you know, that may mean to you or how it may look, the dancing, the chocolate, the connecting. And, you know, it's, you know, so amazing to have you, you know, on and just witness your journey and your growth. And I know what you've been through hasn't been easy, but it's just, you're so inspiring and you're glowing.
Thank you.
And you witness your expansion. What is one last piece of wisdom that you can leave our audience with?
One of my other favorite words is empathy. I truly believe that if we have more empathy for the world around us and ourselves, things would be completely different. Yes. And empathy includes patience, includes pausing. It includes recognizing our triggers and our response and our reactions, like you were saying earlier. It includes compassion, and there is a sense of love in there. There's a sense of understanding, but even understanding takes effort. You have to really think, even if you've never been in that same situation as someone else before, if you can just use your imagination has saved me so many times in a lot of really dark moments as well. But I think empathy is just, it's so important, and it makes you, it just brings that relief to you and makes you feel better. It really does.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure, and I can just continue going on with you forever.
Yeah, you're so fun to talk to. You're so easy to talk to.
So are you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could stay here with you all day, sister. So please share with our audience how they can, you know, reach you and connect with you, and, you know, tell us a little bit about your services.
So I can be reached. My website is, I have two websites. I have iampaisleybird.com, which is kind of my portfolio of websites for different things that I do. My coaching is insightwithpaisley.com. I do one-on-one coaching. I do like retreat day coaching for small businesses. And it's all the same foundation of self-coaching, like learning how to coach yourself. Like, I'm the coach that you work with me for couple months, I don't want you to need me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to have the tools that you need that can be your trajectory for the rest of your life. So those are the main things that I offer. I also offer something called intuition letters, which is it's basically as a less expensive version of coaching for just one issue or one concern, that someone can write in a question or a situation that they would like to have some direction on. And I will write a letter to them about whatever concern that there is, about some things that they could consider for whatever they're working on. And yeah, those are the few things that I offer.
I love that. And what we'll do is have your contact information, you know, at the bottom of this podcast. And if you're watching or watching the replay, please don't hesitate to put the questions in, because we will definitely respond to those, and I'll definitely lead you to Paisley. So it's been an incredible opportunity to have you here with us today. I really appreciate you. And for those of you watching and those of you on the replay and listening, as always, thank you so much. I am so grateful for you, because I know there are so many other places you can be. And please share, like, and subscribe so we can continue to show up and bring you incredible guests like Paisley Bird. And to the rest of you, we wish you a beautiful and incredible rest of your day. Take care. Bye. Hey, love, thank you so much for listening today. I am so grateful for you. I'd like to show you my appreciation by gifting you a free forgiveness self-hypnosis audio download. Part of living the fun and fabulous life is practicing forgiveness. Forgiveness can be such a long and challenging process. My intention is that this forgiveness audio will help you in practicing forgiveness, especially with yourself. Grab it by visiting daretoachieve.com/forgiveness. For more inspiring tips, make sure to connect with me on social media. Drop me a line on Facebook or Instagram at Grace Redmond, Dare to Achieve. Until next time, keep moving forward towards living your fabulous life.